Welcome to another episode of the CWF Gamecast. As always, I'm your host, Raven, and we have a great show for you today. On the agenda for today, we're going to be talking about the Golden Demon Award winners from Games Day Atlanta. We're going to talk about a survey from GW, information about Privateer Press, the new War Machine League, and we also have a special pre-recorded segment explaining to you the Axis and Allies War at Sea game. So as I said, we're very excited to talk to you about a multitude of issues today. First on the list, we actually want to talk about the Golden Demon Award winners from the Atlanta Games Day 2007. I know a lot of you out there are big fans of Games Workshop products, all the games, and who among us doesn't love to see a really nicely painted model? Every year, at all the different games days, which there's a plethora, they give all sorts of different awards to the best painted models. Always, the biggest and best prize is the Slayer Sword! And the Slayer Sword winner this year goes to a wonderfully converted and painted troll model. It is by Todd Swanson. The name of it is actually Trogdor Necksnapper. It's a stone troll, and if you head over to the GW website, you're going to be able to find all sorts of photos of this model. We actually have links to it in our show notes. But there were a wonderful array of other models that had won. The Slayer Sword winner is actually a Warhammer large model, but I was kind of surprised that it wasn't a 40k model. I've noticed a lot lately that 40k models have tended to do pretty well in there, and this time around just didn't have luck, I guess. If you go to our show notes, we have links to all of the photos of the Golden Demon Award winners. They're wonderful. Every single one of them, two thumbs up. They did a great job. So round of applause, and head on over there, take a look, see what's there, and maybe you're going to have one of your own favorites. Or maybe you might have an idea for something to go ahead and convert and paint yourself. Enter it at your own local Golden Demon Awards at your upcoming Games Day. Also, we're going to be talking about Games Workshop. They have decided to try to get some feedback from all of us. There's many of us who play all of the games. They have a survey out now. They want you to go and discuss on the survey in a variety of questions what you think about their products, their website, all sorts of stuff. We have a link to this in our show notes as well. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes to do the survey, depending on how thorough you are, but I definitely suggest that you take the time to do the survey. I know that there are many people who are upset with Games Workshop for different practices that they have done recently and in the past. The people who may like the games, wish they could be better, may have problems with the company, whatever. Now's the chance for you to speak your mind. Those longtime listeners will remember that the CWF Gamecast grew out of online forum or message board that used to be run. And the primary goal of that message board was to speak with Games Workshop and air some concerns that many of us, customers and hobbyists, had with how they were pursuing their vision, I guess we could say, of how they wanted their games and their gaming empire to be run and deal with the public. Unfortunately, that didn't get much of anywhere, but you can take the time to use this survey to get your point across. We know that Games Workshop is going to be listening to the survey and definitely will be taking what we, you, me, and everyone else has to say into their mind. we will be back after this brief little bit of intro music. Now we actually want to take some time to get into the War at Sea. It's the latest edition of the Axis and Allies minigame. Our last podcast, we talked about it and did sort of an overview, talked about how I had bought out Battleground Games in Abington of all of their supplies for the game. Earlier this week, we had pre-recorded a whole segment to put into today's podcast. And what we actually did in that segment, and I had a fun time doing it, was we took a couple ships from it, and using the quick start rules that come with the two-player edition of the game, we ran through a whole game of it. Ours happened to last not very long. It was one turn long. But we went through what the quick start rules say to give you an example of how the game is played. I know sometimes that if you're reading the rules and looking at them, you say, okay, well, that makes sense, but I'm not really sure well, like, how do I do this? And you might have a hard time grasping it. Everyone, you know, learns differently. And for those of you who need to have a little bit of hands-on, this is our way of trying to help you and say, hey, look, here's this awesome game. Check it out. See what happens. So we're going to divert you right now to that pre-recorded section that we did on this. And when it's over, we will be right back. In this dry run of the WRTC, we actually had gone through and tried to test out the quick start guide or introductory rules. And to give you an idea of how the game actually plays, we have taken two of the ships, one of them for the Axis and one for the Allies, of course. For the Axis, we're using the Yukikaze from the Japanese Royal Navy. And for the Allies, we're using the USS Atlanta for the American Navy. The reason why we chose these two ships is that they are both of equal points, both 12 points apiece, and they also are ships that have only primary or main gun battery for surface attacks, and they both have torpedoes for surface attacks. Although they have the same number of points, and they're two different classes of ships, the Yukikaze is a destroyer, whereas the Atlanta is a cruiser. They have similar speeds, they're close to the same number of dice that are rolled for their attacks, and the main differences are the facts that the Yukikaze has a higher number of dice for torpedoes, it has a lower number of dice for main gunnery attacks, it's lower by one. The Yukikaze also has a lower armor value, and a lower vital armor, and one lower for hull points. That would make you think, whoa, these two ships, not really that matched. I don't care if they are the same points or not. However, they really are because the Yukikaze has two special rules that come into play. The Atlanta only has one. However, the Yukikaze's only is going to be able to make use of one of those rules for our dry run right now. And the Atlanta can't make use of any of it. We have already actually gone ahead and performed all of this and rolled it out. And this is just kind of a reporting of what we had done and explaining why we have done what we did. I want to make sure that I say that we have not altered any of the dice rolls. They were recorded as they were performed to kind of give you a play-by-play, give you an idea. And the reason why we had already done that in advance of this pre-recorded session of the podcast is that we wanted to make sure, one, that it goes smoothly, and two, that we have the finished results in front of us so that we can explain what we did and why we did what we did. The first thing that you have to do in WRTC is to take two dice for each person, and you roll them and add them together. That's called your initiative roll. Whoever has the highest roll for that gets to go second. Normally, I'm sure you're thinking, why would I want to go second? Well, going second is actually better because it allows you to see what your opponent is doing. In a normal game of WRTC, there's movement involved, more tactics and strategy. This dry run, of course, is just to let you get the basics down and understand the whole format of play. But usually, going second is best. We had rolled our initiatives, as I said, the Lantern had rolled a 9, and the Yukikaze had rolled a 9. In the case of a tie, you want to re-roll. In the second go-around, we had the Atlanta with a 9 again, and the Yukikaze with a 5. That said, the Atlanta had gone ahead, and since it was going second, that meant the Yukikaze would be going first, obviously. On its roll, the Yukikaze has 5 dice to roll because we followed the guide, the quick start guide for how to set up the ships, which basically says you place them side by side so that they're each one grid away from each other. They're in adjacent grids, so to speak. When you're doing your attacks, you need to look at your card, and there's different icons on there, and the one for the main gunnery attack shows a big turret with the letter M in it. You go over in this little chart and you want to see how far away you are. The Yukikaze is one grid away from the Atlanta, therefore it rolls 5 dice. The 5 dice we rolled them, we got a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 6. In the game, if you roll a 4 or a 5, you get 1 success for each of those. If you roll a 6, you get 2 successes. Therefore, we had a combined total of 4 successes because the 4 and the 5 plus the 6 gave us 4, because the 6 had 2, and the 4 and the 5 each had 1. What you then need to do, you got to compare the number of successes you had with the armor value of the other ship. So we had 4 successes, and the Atlantra has an armor of 4. If you are equal to or greater than the armor with the number of successes that you had, you do 1 damage. So the Yukikaze was able to do 1 damage on the Atlanta. Each damage reduces the opponent's hull points by 1. The Atlanta starts off with 3 hull points, therefore it goes down to 2 hull points. Not too bad. The Atlanta then gets its turn to shoot. It does it at full strength, as if it didn't take any damage yet. It rolls 6 dice for its main gunnery attack. The 6 dice gave us a result of 3, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6. That gave us a total of 4 successes, because if you remember, a 6 is worth 2, and the 4 and the 5 are each worth 1. When we compared the 4 successes against the armor value of the Yukikaze, we see that the 4 successes versus an armor of 2 means that 1 damage was done. The Yukikaze has a total of 2 hull points. 1 went away, it's down to 1. Therefore, it is crippled. When a ship is crippled, it has some interesting effects to it. Basically, it is penalized in its armor, vital armor, speed, and torpedo attack value are each reduced by 1. You need to make sure that you know that no matter what, the ship goes no lower than a 1 for each of those values. So it'll always be able to move, it'll be able to shoot its torpedoes, it'll at least have an armor of 1 or vital armor of 1. Basically, this ensures that it doesn't get destroyed right away from something that shouldn't kill it right off. In the same turn, which is turn 1, we get to the next phase, which is a torpedo attack phase. In the torpedo attack phase, you look to see if your ship has torpedoes. The Yukikaze has 3. Since it's crippled, that goes down by 1, so it becomes 2 torpedoes that it gets to fire at the Atlanta. On a roll of 6, and only on a 6, a torpedo will hit your opponent. If it hits your opponent, it does 2 points of damage per hit. We rolled the dice, and we ended up with a 5 and a 6. So, we had the 6, which gave us 1 hit for 2 damage. However, the Yukikaze has a special effect called Long Lance Torpedoes. And I'm going to just read it verbatim from the card. It says, each torpedo hit rolled by this unit deals 1 extra point of hull damage. Instead of doing 2 damage with our 1 hit, we actually get 3 points of damage. That just goes directly to the ship. If you recall, the Atlanta had only 2 hull points left from last phase, the surface attack phase, and this does 3 points of damage, thereby sinking the Atlanta. However, the Atlanta still gets to do its attacks for the torpedo assault phase before it is officially considered sunk and we move on. So the Atlanta has 1 torpedo that it can fire. It rolled the dice and got a 2, which means no hits, because you need a 6 on torpedo attacks to get a hit. Since that was done, the phase ended, the Atlanta was sunk, and the Yukikaze lived and won the day. So as you can see, you have these 2 ships, 2 different classes, but the same points. It really did come down to the roll of the dice. If the Yukikaze wasn't as lucky with the torpedo hits, it wouldn't have sunk the Atlanta, and maybe the Atlanta would have killed it with its torpedo. Or, if not, we would go to turn 2, in which we would have the Yukikaze shooting first with the main gunnery battery, and then the Atlanta would have shot back. A likely result is that, if that had happened, both ships would have been sunk. And in that case, if you're trying to choose who the winner is, you go by whoever sunk the ship with the highest cost. In our example here, the ships were of equal value, but if we had replaced them so that one ship was worth more points than the other, you could then end up having a winner. Otherwise, if they're both equal, you just end up in a tie. And that's the game, in a nutshell. If you want to go for more advanced rules, we do recommend that you head on over to the Wizards of the Coast website, and you're going to be able to find more of that in our show notes. But that ends this pre-recorded section of our podcast. So, we hope you enjoyed that segment of today's podcast, and I know you may not realize it, but the podcast is actually kind of drawing to a close now. We have one more segment to do, and you're thinking, whoa, the cast is kind of moving pretty quickly today, touching on a lot of things, not spending a whole lot of time on them. What gives? Well, a couple of reasons, actually. First of all, as I said, it's a wonderful day out in New England. It's a great spring day. The temperature's in the high 60s, and the sun is shining, and I'm actually supposed to be going out with a few of my gaming buddies in a little while. We are going to be playing some Star Wars Minis, the Starship Battles game, be heading up to Danger Planet Games in Waltham, Massachusetts, and need to get this podcast kind of wrapped up for that so I can do the everything that has to be done to prepare for, you know, gaming tonight. But also, we're trying to pick up the pace on the podcast and also make it shorter. We're trying to condense things a little bit. Previous podcasts have been anywhere from half an hour to 45 minutes long, and that's a lot of time to ask anyone to sit down and concentrate on one single subject. Whether it's me doing the podcast, which I'm more than happy and enthusiastic to do, but also you as a listener, to spend that much time devoted hearing to what I have to say about the world of gaming. And we know you're going to be listening to what we have to say, but you're also playing it. Your job is to play the games, and our job is to discuss the games. So in order for that to happen, you actually have to spend some time playing the games, and we can't have you spending all your time listening to me, as much as I know we would all enjoy that. But seriously, we really are trying to reformat the show and get it to be shorter time period and condense it a little bit, you know? And part of that is this. So I had taken up, you know, several minutes right now explaining all that to you, and I do apologize. But the last segment is War Machine. As you may know, War Machine, great game by Privateer Press. They have a spring season league going on right now. It is the end of week two, and down in Battleground Games in Abington, they have a league going on. So if anyone happens to live in southeastern Mass, or, you know, near Massachusetts in general, and you feel like taking a trip down to Battleground Games, you can see league games being played on Thursdays at 7 o'clock is when they start. And as I said, I have, you know, in a previous podcast, that I have my own War Machine Army. I'm not taking part in this league. It's not complete just yet, but I am playing a Protectorate Army, and I'm working on getting it painted and everything. And when I say I'm working on it, what I really mean is I'm working on assembling it, and my friend Steve is being kind enough to paint it for me through a commission, and he does a great deal of painting and very good with it, so he's painting my stuff. But I did want to touch on a couple things on the War Machine League for this week. I know that, as I said, it's almost over, and a lot of you probably got in games in if you are playing the league, but the weekend's coming up, and that's a prime time to be playing some games. So a couple things to keep in mind. First, the weather alert. Lightning storm. Bring this straight to you from the Privateer Press website. And for those of you who need to know, it says that dangerous lightning storms fill the skies this week. Beware, experiments by local alchemists and wizards. These can have terrible consequences if not conducted properly. Travelers should take all the necessary precautions when outdoors. And you're saying, well, what does that really have to do with me in my game? Yeah, it's kind of cool and it sounds fluffy. Okay. The rule is you take a d6 every round of before the first player's turn, and then on a roll of 1, lightning hits a battleground. What does that mean? Well, all warjacks suffer disruption. Because of that blast, all warrior models can't give or receive orders that round. Plus, any warjack that suffers disruption loses all of its unused focus points and can't be allocated focus points or channel spells. In essence, if you get a lightning strike in a particular round of play or a turn of play, you're not going to be doing very much. So all you can do is cross your fingers and hope that the great gods of Minoth are going to be with you and that you don't get any lightning going on. There's also a bunch of bounties going on this week. There's a bounty for Signar on the Protectorate, a bounty on Signar, a bounty on the Protectorate from Signar. There's a bounty on Krix from Kador, and a bounty on Kador from Krix. I'm just going to highlight the one for the Protectorate that's on Signar, because I'm a Protectorate player. And whenever you play a game this week against a player who has a Signar team, you score 2 additional league points if all of your opponent's trooper models are destroyed or removed from the game during play. What does that mean? Well, no matter what the objective is for your scenario, go and try to wipe out all the troops of your Signar opponent, because you could really use those 2 league points. I don't care whether you're in first place, last place, in the middle, whatever. That's 2 league points just for kicking ass. Make sure you go and do that. And for the rest of the bounties and all of the scenarios, why don't you head on over to our website, which is War Machine. I was about to give you the one for War Machine. Sorry. It's wargamingforums.com. Can you tell I'm a little eager to get out there today? This nice weather and everything. But anyway, if you head on over to our website of wargamingforums.com, you can find our show notes for today's podcast. And in our show notes will be links to the War Machine official website for the league and everything else that we have talked about today. As always, I want to thank everyone for listening in. And as I give my closing remarks, I want to say that those of you who are subscribed to us through iTunes will notice that in the iTunes store, we now are rated with 4 stars because of you. So we want to thank you for listening. And if you are listening to us outside of iTunes, why don't you try via iTunes? You automatically get the latest episodes every single time you log into iTunes. And if you do, take the time to give us some ratings. Or if you listen to us on Podcast Pickle or Podcast Alley or anywhere, you know, Feedburner, be sure to subscribe and give us your remarks. Rate us. Let us know how we're doing. And as always, you can find out how to do that at our website. Thank you very much. Have a great day and keep on gaming.